So, Justin, why don't you start out with your two-minute opening remarks, and then we will have one-minute responses to our 9 questions and 2 minutes to close. So our timer is here, and you can read the sign language. That's, almost out of time, and the big red stop sign.
No music or anything?
No music.
Wow.
I'll wave them if you're not.
Okay.
But you can sing your introductory remarks.
Can I?
We that would be entertaining.
No.
To the tune of... Didn't rehearse.
Yeah, I didn't for that, no.
Okay, start the clock, he's on.
Yeah, so my name's Justin Ruffridge. I have been in the Kenai Soldotna area since 1994. I am married, beautiful wife Jessie. Have a son, he's 4. His name is Ellison. We live in Soldotna, have lived inside Soldotna for the last 3 years. But this area has been important to me. It's my home. It's a place where I plan on being for the foreseeable future. It is, I think, a great place to raise a family, as I know many of you looking out here have done. So I think there's some agreement there. I think this is a this is an interesting opportunity for me to learn about what goes on in our city and be a part of it. There's a lot to learn. I was appointed to the city council in a special appointment in April, and since then I have figured out how much education I need and in what that realm looks like. And it's been a very great experience, and so I am going to pursue that further and see how much more I can learn and be a part of those things. For my day job, I co-own 3 pharmacies, one here in Soldotna, one in Girdwood, and one in Juneau. I spend most of my time here, but for the Girdwood pharmacy, I've been spending about a week or two a month up there to get that going. So that will be something that I will be slowing down a bit on through the winter time, but that's what I do. During the day. So if you need to talk or find me, that's where I'm at a lot. So you can find me there, and I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Thank you, Justin. And so for those of us who are a little bit hard of hearing, we're going to use the microphone. So Jordan, if you would hold it nice and close,
okay,
and pass it to your counterparts as we get into the questions. Why don't you just take it right out of the stand?
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, can you hear me? Is that
an IT guy? And I don't think it's on.
No, nope, it is on. Hello? I think the volume is just kind of low.
It's good.
Okay. Okay. My name is Jordan Chilson. I am a lifelong Alaskan, born here in Soldotna, where I now work as a network administrator for the Kenai School District. I've been here in town working with the Kenai School District for about 7 years now. Community service is a very important thing to me. I try to continually make that part of my personal life. Over the years, I've held roles with the Central Peninsula General Hospital, the Boys and Girls Club, Food Bank, Saltashi Trails Association, and Soldotna Community Schools. And I'm here running for office because I want to continue to serve my community where I feel I can make the most positive impact using the skills and experiences that I have. Soldotna is an incredible place. We have a wonderful community. A very friendly business environment, and just it's a beautiful city. And if given the opportunity to serve for you as a councilman, if elected, it's going to be my goal to continue to ensure that it stays that way for years to come. So thank you.
Sure, sweet. Thank you, Jordan. Okay, Paul Whitney, 2 minutes for your opening remarks.
I'm Paul Whitney. Been a resident of Alaska now for 43 years. Married to my wife Jeannie for 48 years. We moved down here in 1988 from Fairbanks. I have 2 children. One was born in Anchorage, who he really doesn't like to admit that, and the other one was born in Fairbanks. Have 6 grandchildren down here. 3 of them go to Kay Beach, 2 go to Readout, and 1 in the prep school. My background has been criminal justice mainly, law enforcement, private investigator, and retired from the state of Alaska as the public defender investigator. My wife is also retired from the state of Alaska. She was the legal secretary for the public defender agency at that time. We love this area. We moved down here, like I said, in 1988. We had always thought we would go back to Fairbanks because I had family up there, cousins and aunts, and stuff, and it just never happened, and we stayed here. We built our home in town in 1989 and have been in that same home now for just about 30 years. It's a great community. Our kids were basically raised here from middle school on up. Grandkids, everybody still lives here. Sometimes a little too close because they spend more time at my house than they do at their own home. I think. Come home and find six grandkids spending the night. That's the time I take my hearing aids out so I can't hear what's going on. But we love this community. We've got a great environment here. We've got a great city employees. They do a fantastic job taking care of everything. And I look forward to another term here, and hopefully it'll all work out.
Thank you, Bob Holland. We'll let you take the first question. First, tell us about your qualifications to serve on the city council.
Well, actually, I think I'm the best candidate for seat A. It kind of helps to be the only one. But my background is when I lived in Fairbanks, I spent 4 years on the Fairbanks City Council, an equal amount of time on the Fairbanks Municipal Utility System. So we learned a little bit about phone business and sewer and water and things like that. I've been down here in Soldotna. I've been on the City Council since 2013 when I was appointed. Ran for re-election in 2014 and then ran again in 2015, and here we are again in 2018 trying it again. Been on the Planning and Zoning Commission for the city in 2012 and on the Planning Commission for the borough since 2013. I think I listen, I learn, I take enough time to study the subject to find out what's going on and make the right decision, which I hope is the right decision for what's best for the citizens of Soldotna.
Thank you. And Jared, your qualifications compared to your opponent for seat C, what do you bring to the table?
What I can bring is I am a very much business process oriented individual. My background is in business. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration. I ran my own personal business for a number of years. And part of that mindset is the ability to continually seek new opportunities and efficiency gains so that you can continue to enhance the value that you're bringing to your organization. As a network administrator for the Kenai School District, part of that role is constantly dealing with complex issues and problems and doing a careful analysis of them to find the most optimal solution. And I feel that those skills can directly translate over to public service. The last couple of years, I've really made a point to get involved with nonprofit and government administration. Currently, I serve roles through Soltechi Trails Association on their board of directors, Soldotna Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, Planning and Zoning Commission, and I'm also a graduate student working through my program in public administration and municipal governance. And I'm excited to apply those skills here in my community.
And Mr. Rufferidge, in 60 seconds, your qualifications to sit on the City Council.
Well, truthfully, I don't know as though I have any specific grandiose qualifications other than I'm a really good problem solver. That's what I've made a living doing for patients and people in our community for many years. I am willing to think outside the box, and I'm a quick learner. And I like to learn new things. This has been a learning experience for me for the last few months. I'm excited to do more of it. I'm excited to engage with my community in a new way rather than just healthcare. I am excited to solve some problems and think outside the box for those things. But that would be it.
But song and dance goes hand in hand with being a politician, does it not?
You really want me to
the,
say
the ability
something.
To play different parts.
It's all
it's fun. I mean, there's no competition here, so we can. Okay, let's have Jordan take this next question first. What challenges do you see for the city of Soldotna during your term?
Okay, some of the primary challenges I foresee are, first and foremost, going to be the decline in revenue sharing we're receiving from the state and federal agencies that we've historically depended upon for funding our capital projects and large infrastructure improvements. Secondly, dealing with annexation, I'm sure most of us in this room are familiar with the challenges that we've faced through that process, and moving forward, it's going to continue to be a very hard road. And lastly, our declining tourism and fisheries. Between 2011 and 2016, the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program saw a notable decline in tourism coming to the Kenai-Soldotna area, and also the declining fisheries with the guiding business here on the Kenai River. I remember fishing the Kenai River almost daily growing up, and you could almost walk across that Kenai River from guideboat to guideboat, and that industry is just not the same as what it was years ago, and I think that's something we're going to have to face as a community moving forward.
Thank you. Justin, the question about challenges during your next term on the City Council.
I think some of the challenges facing us currently are making Soldotna a place that exceeds its vision 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road. I think the decisions that we make in the now affect what our children have to expect from our city in the future. Stuff moves so slowly at the government level that we really have to think 10, 15 years down the road. I think it's our human nature sometimes to think that the things we do right now affect the now, but realistically, we do have to think about what we want Soldot to look like in 15 years and make those things happen now. And that would be the biggest challenge, is being forward thinking, in my opinion.
Okay, pass it all the way back over to Paul, and we'll ask him what challenges he sees coming to the city of Soldot.
Right now, the biggest issue I think in front of the city is the possibility of annexation. There's been a lot of discussion on it now for, I guess it's been close to 4 years. It's getting close to a possible decision being made, and that's probably the biggest issue that we have right now in front of us. Another one is going to be our wastewater treatment plant. There's some challenges there with Proposition 1 coming up. Could be some real challenges. Needs to be new permitting, and that's going to cost a few dollars to more improvements in that plant. We just put $3 million into it for some modernization, and that helps. So those are the big things right now. Everything else, I think, is running really well in the city. I think we have a lot of new businesses coming in, new buildings going up, and I see a bright future.
Okay, Paul, that segues right into the next question. What are Soldotna's greatest opportunities?
I'm sorry, did you say me?
You, yes.
Okay.
Opportunities for Soldotna in the future.
I think one of the best opportunities we have is the development of the river frontage for economic development. Granted, we need to take a look at the tourism and everything else that's going on there, but the river is an attraction, and we need to make that as beautiful as we possibly can to draw more tourism here to enjoy what we have here in Soldotna. Sometimes in the summertime, we all get kind of flustered having to turn on the Sterling Highway and not be able to get on there because there's cars all over. But they're kind of the lifeblood of our community. They help us, and we need them. And I think our river is our biggest, like our greatest opportunity to do something.
And Jordan, bringing some youth and talent to the City Council, what do you see as opportunities for the city?
Well, hopefully. I think the greatest opportunity that Soldotna has is our geographical positioning. I mean, we really are the gateway to the South Central Peninsula with the road running through us. There is a clear reason why Central Peninsula Hospital, the borough, the school district, CES, all made Soldotna the center of their administrations. And I think we have the ability to leverage that moving forward to grow our city. Secondly, just the physical characteristics of our town. We have a beautiful landscape located right here on the river. And I mean, if you go to that park any day during the summer, you can see the activity that we have there. And I think we really have the potential to grow into the activity hub of the Central Peninsula. And lastly, our small business community and their amazing ability to adapt to market and tourism needs and attract local entrepreneurs and people that want to make Soldotna their home and grow this community. So, thank you.
Thank you. Justin, the same question about opportunities for Soldotna.
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. I think we are situated in a unique position centrally on the peninsula. I see that most specifically in the medical community. We have become a medical hub for a lot of what happens on the peninsula, and we've seen that growth almost exponentially over the course of the last few years. I think that growth is going to continue. I see that Soldotna becoming a place for people to seek out quality medical care from around a larger population, which is the peninsula as a whole. I think we've done a good job of moving forward with a lot of those things. But I think that that is another area where we can continue to adapt and grow into a thriving medical hub for our peninsula.
Okay, hold on to the microphone, Justin. The next question is, the city of Soldotna's revenue base relies heavily on sales tax, and sales tax can be volatile, as we've already mentioned. Do you see a need to diversify our revenue streams, and how would that happen?
Boy, that's a million-dollar question, huh? I think diversification obviously sounds really nice, and I think that there's a few things that I've discussed with people outside of the council and ideas that we've heard floated around, things like a bed tax and items of that nature. I think that, you know, cities really only have taxation as their point of revenue. Some other ideas would be fees for accessing certain areas, but it's really tough to get excited about that. I think we enjoy having access to what we have access to for no cost, and I don't think that's the right place to put that. The bed tax would probably be the most realistic way to improve cash flow from a diverse standpoint, in my opinion.
Hey, Jordan, you get excited about new taxes if you have a volatile revenue stream with sales tax declining, as you mentioned, with the reduction of tourists?
Toss the potato. I actually don't believe that sales tax is that volatile. If you look historically, between FY 2012 and FY 2015, our sales tax revenue in the city of Soldotna has been very consistent between $7.5 and $7.7 million. What has been volatile is governmental revenue sharing that we receive from the state and federal levels, and I think moving forward, we're going to have to find a way to compensate for that loss of revenue sharing. I am of the opinion that a raise in property taxes should be the last resort that we look through. And we should instead pursue other options like growing our city boundaries or potentially a bed tax. So again, I just think we need to pursue all options first before we look at raising our property taxes to diversify revenue.
Paul, any exciting ideas about revenue streams if we need to increase them?
Actually, our sales tax revenue, I believe this year was close to $500,000 over the estimate that was originally put in the budget. Sales. In fact, I think they said this was the highest sales tax year we've ever had for revenue. I don't see us going into any property tax increase in the future. I would basically oppose that. But one way to increase that revenue is increase small businesses, become a business-friendly community, more business friendly than we are now, new businesses that will generate more sales tax and help offset any loss we might have in tourism and things like that. And I think we're starting to see that. We're seeing new places open up and new buildings going up. And
okay, yeah, we'll let Jordan go first on the next question. I think everybody answered that one right on taxes. Okay, so Soldotna has been exploring options for annexation over the years. Do you see a path forward for annexation? And if so, what would that look like for you?
Okay, so before my minute begins, I just have to say that whoever thought annexation could be addressed in under a minute has a twisted sense of humor. But what I will say is that annexation presents a lot of potential economic and growth opportunities for a city. And it also has the ability to deeply affect the communities directly adjacent to and directly within our city limits. And that being the case, I think it's important that we allow this to go before the local boundary commission, who by state constitutional design takes all the facts and public testimony during a disputed annexation process and determines what's fair and in the best interest of all involved parties. And if they push it forward and it further passes legislative review, the next step in our process is going to be the development of a transition plan by our local planning and zoning commission. Now, at that point, it's not my goal that the city of Soldotna come in and significantly alter the way of life that has been established in these communities. So I would like to see the involvement of community members both inside and outside the city during the development of that transition plan, so that any transition plan that is put forward incorporates and is respectful of the values and needs of all community members involved, this again, inside and outside the city, and allows us to bring these communities into the city in a way that is fair and beneficial for all.
Thank you. Paul, on annexation, what do you see as in the future? What would it look like? Will it happen?
I think it's good for the city. I think it'll be good for some of the areas that are being looked at for consideration. My only regret on what we've done so far is that I think maybe we have included maybe too much area. Maybe it's a little bit too much at one time to absorb, and that maybe we should have kept it a little bit smaller. next project, our next process, well, it'll come back to the council for a petition, which will then go to the Boundary Commission. And the Boundary Commission will hold many, many meetings on taking public testimony and everything else. And the Boundary Commission can make a decision that they may want to expand the area, they may want to shrink the area. That's the next process. I don't see anything happening as far as complete annexation until at least 2020. So it's going to be still a long process, and we've been into it now for about 4 years. A lot of studies to do. I think our city staff will be working with people, if they are annexed, to make any adjustments that need to be completed in the transition.
Okay, pass it back to Justin and Mr. Ruffridge, your views on annexation.
I'm surprised no one clapped for Jordan's minutes.
Right.
That was impressive. That was like everything in 1 minute. I'm going to say ditto to a lot of what Jordan said. I think annexation is important for the city moving forward. I think there has to be, going back to what I said earlier, looking out 15, 20 years, there has to be a 15-year plan, and that has to be for the growth of Soldotna, both in small business and in how many residents can live within our city limits. And I think that helps with funding, if funding ever comes from the state again, to show that we are a growing population area, because we are, and we just don't fit that much within our small city boundary currently. I think the process has been set in place. It is going to be a lengthy process to finalize, and there are a lot of steps involved to make sure that that's done appropriately, and we are just responsible for setting it in motion. And I'm proud of our city for taking a tough thing on and doing it with class and dignity. And I hope that we see it through to the end.
So you'll be voting for Jordan, is that what?
Yes.
Okay, you might. Next question, you go first, Justin. Does the city of Soldotna have a role to play in battling increasing crime and the opioid epidemic, which is causing a lot of that crime in our community?
Boy, that's a loaded question. I deal obviously with opiates often in my day. And yes, I think there is a significant problem there, but I actually see a lot of positivity coming out of that. I think the city can do a lot in supporting people who have already made changes to battle it on their own. We have a lot of programs that have been started. We have Freedom House currently within Soldotna city limits. We have Change for the Kenai, Serenity House. We have a lot of things that we can throw our weight behind and support as council members, maybe not as a city as a whole. But I think change in the opiate epidemic comes from people helping people. And I think that we have a lot that we can support with that as people, rather than as a city as a whole. And boy, I could talk about that for a long time, but I'll pass.
Okay, we're going to pass it all the way over to Paul. We'll save Jordan for the wrap-up on this question. Does the city of Soldotna have a role to play in battling increasing crime and the opioid epidemic?
Yes, we do, because we have our city police force. They're a good police department. They will be, you know, taking on the crime issue, any crime that's occurring inside the city. As far as the opioid problem, that needs to be, at least in my mind, we need to have more treatment programs. You can arrest people for the use of drugs and put them in jail, but that's not going to help them. It's the treatment programs that's going to bring them back around and hopefully get them back as a productive member of society. I've been dealing with drugs most of my adult life in law enforcement and everything else, and kind of it's gone around in a circle. In 1970s it was heroin, then it went to cocaine and speed, and now we're back to heroin again. So it's just kind of a vicious circle, and somewhere it's got to be a stop.
Okay, Jordan, let them have it on this one. The city of Soldotna has a role to play in battling increasing crime and the opioid epidemic.
Okay. Well, first of all, the opioid epidemic and the surge in crime that comes along with that is most certainly a national issue that's most likely going to have to be addressed by much broader policy changes that are beyond the scope of what we can address here at the city. But I do feel there are some things that we can do locally to at least help mitigate the effects of this. The first of which is I'd like to see more community policing and engagement by our police department through maybe the establishment of a neighborhood watch program like what Kenai Police Department has. I'd like to see continued support for our police department, which does an excellent job with their DARE programs and their partnerships with the local pharmacies for safe prescription disposals. And like Justin and Paul mentioned with treating the root cause, which is the addiction itself, Central Peninsula General Hospital does fantastic work with their Sarnie House and Freedom House programs that we have here, even right directly inside city limits. And although we don't directly fund them, I'd like to do what we can as a council to support the continuation of these programs and growth as needed.
So. Okay, Jared, you're first on this next one. So Latna has two groups looking to forward big projects, the Sports Complex Field House here, and the Latna Community and Visitor Center over adjacent to Latna Creek Park. Where do you stand on those two projects?
Okay. Well, our local business community is an essential part of what makes Soldotna a vibrant and successful community, and our local chamber does fantastic work in supporting our local business leadership and making that possible. I believe that Soldotna, in turn, should continue to support our chamber in this important work that they do every day. Also, Soldotna Creek Park is one of the greatest assets that we have as a city. Having large green spaces right next to the Kenai River is an incredibly special thing. I mean, you go down to that park almost any day during the summer and you can see how packed it is and how many people this is bringing into our city and boosting our local economy with. So that said, I would be opposed to any commercial building development on that park or adjacent city lands that would alter the local landscape or take away any future ability to develop that park further. Now, I know that the Chamber has expressed need for expanded visitor center or expanded conference center facilities, so I would propose alternatively an expanded sports center remodel that includes enhanced visitor center and conferencing facilities and a field house so that we can combine that all into one cost-effective package that will make Soldotna the visitor and event hub of Soldotna for years to come.
Thank you, Jordan. And Mr. Whitney, on the two big projects that are both going forward simultaneously, where do you stand?
I have a few misgivings about the conventions or conference center and chamber community building down there by the park. Jordan said, that park is used all the time. And this building design covers, I think it was told, 75 to 90% of the building's going to be on park land. And the people I've talked to, they say that what we should be doing is expanding the park and not taking away from it. There's just too many activities that go on down there all the time. So I still have a few misgivings about that plan. Sports Center complex, it's been studied for many, many, many years. This facility is used a great deal for all kinds of different sports activities. One of the things we've seen is schools have competing and wrestling and things like that don't tend to come down here from the Anchorage area, because we don't have the facility to have those activities. My grandkids spend more time in Anchorage doing sports stuff than they probably do down here, and so I see that need here.
Okay, now back to Justin. The two mega projects, the field house at the park and the community visitor center. No, the sports complex field house and the community visitor center.
Yeah, I was recently introduced to both of those. So formulating a little bit of what I'm about to say with conversations with multiple people, I agree with Paul. I think there are some misgivings for how to use that park land, but I do see a need for an expanded visitors option in our town. I think the concern that I hear the most from people that I have conversations with are how are we currently maintaining and upgrading what we have as our facilities? I'd like to explore that a little bit further. I think we do have great facilities that we have built but are maybe aging out, and we need to put some plans in place to improve those and modernize some of those. I think this facility is a great example of that. I think the visitor center right now obviously has passed its prime and needs to be worked on in some way. Whether or not that goes in the park or not, I do have some concerns about as well.
Okay, and a good segue question, we'll go back and let Paul take this one first. The state of Alaska has essentially stopped funding capital projects. Where do you stand on the issue of bonding for infrastructure needs in Soldotna?
I think it'll be many years before we see any more capital project money coming from the state of Alaska. We do ask for small projects, but I just think that's going to happen. Yes, we have the bonding authority. We could bond for many, many projects. And if it's necessary, if it's a project that is really needed, if we did decided to expand here, this would probably be a bonded issue, either being general obligation bonds or possibly revenue bonds. But yes, that's something that's can be considered and looked at, and it's based on the need of the community and what that particular project is going to be.
Hey, thank you. We'll go back to Justin on this question again. With the state stopping its funding of capital projects, where do you stand on bonding for infrastructure for the city?
I think it's going to be necessary. I think it's going to be something that we have to deal with in a patient manner and make sure that we're putting those forth for the exact right thing. I think it's easy sometimes to get excited about a lot of new shiny things, and bonding is a nice way to make those things happen. I think there's a lot of other options for raising funds, and I think there's people that are doing a great job at looking at those opportunities that are heads of these projects. So I think there's a couple of ways forward for funding, but I think bonding is probably going to be a necessity moving forward.
And Mr. Chilson, what are your ideas on bonding for capital projects?
Well, moving forward, we're always going to have new needs for large-scale infrastructure maintenance and new capital projects. And simply deferring those required maintenance projects is simply not a valid option in my mind. I mean, if you look at it like my driveway, for example, I could save some bucks by not sealing it, but eventually if I kick that can down the road long enough, I'm going to have to pay more and replace the entire driveway as it falls apart. I think it's the same way with capital infrastructure maintenance. Low-interest government bonds are a very valid tool for making that happen, and the benefit with a bond versus a cash savings is you allow the taxpayers who are funding those projects to realize the benefits for them as they are paying them versus doing a cash savings over 10 or 20 years and then developing the project after many of those taxpayers have already left the community. So I do feel that low-interest government bonds are a valid tool, but we'll have to be more scrupulous with how we use them and more selective and really only push forward the projects to bond that are genuinely needed for our community.
Okay, Paul, you take this one first. If you're talking about it tonight, I assume, at the state level, ballot measure one, this is the Stand for Salmon initiative we're talking about. It could have implications for the city of Salina's wastewater system, as you know. Do you believe the council should take a position on ballot measure one? And if so, what position would you take?
Well, it will be up in front of the council tonight, and a non-supportive opposition to Proposition 1. Before I make a decision on it, I want to listen to whatever public testimony we might have. There is some very valid concerns. It could be very expensive for a city wastewater treatment plant because of some of the potential permitting that would be required. It's a big mystery because we don't know. And it's like any proposition that comes up. Sometimes those rules and regulations don't get written until after it's passed, and then by then it's too late. So it's an important issue. Concerned about it, and I'll just wait and see what happens tonight at the meeting.
Okay, and Jordan, on ballot measure one in the November election, the Stand for Salmon, what's your position?
I do not believe it is appropriate for the city to be taking a formal stance on Proposition 1 at this time.
Okay, and Justin, Proposition 1, city stand.
It's a very important issue. I tend to agree with Jordan on this. I think it's a ballot proposition that we are all going to have to vote on. I might be new at this, and so I don't know some of the normal methods forward and some, but it seems unnecessary to me for a city to take a position on a ballot measure that is going to be decided by voters. But I also agree with Paul. I think I want to wait till this evening before I would say anything about how I would move forward with something of that nature.
Okay, that kind of exhausts the questions from the Salina Chamber today. We're going to give every candidate up there 2 minutes to close, and we'll start with you, Justin, seeing that you were the last one for your opening remarks. 2 minutes to close.
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to get up here and answer questions. I I'm excited about the opportunities to be involved more with my city. I'm excited to learn. I'm really excited to actually meet people and talk with them about these issues. I think that has been something of a surprise to me for the first few months that I've been on the council currently, is how little we talk about the issues as a community together. I know many of you in this room, and yet we spend a lot of time talking about either our businesses or our softball teams or things along those lines, but we don't talk about the issues facing our city. I think that's really important. I feel like I can be a driver of those conversations, and I hope to do that with you. I hope to meet new people and have those same conversations. It's really difficult to be on an island and try to make good decisions at a council level if you don't feel like you know where your city and the people that live in your city stand on issues. So I would encourage all of you here to be communicators, to be involved, to know what's happening, and to share your opinions. I value those, and I would enjoy having conversations and dialogue around a lot of these issues that we're facing in the near term. Because I can tell you what I think, but realistically, it's more important what you think and how that affects what we do as a group. So thank you for the opportunity. It was great to see all of you today, and that's all I got.
Okay, Jordan, in your highly contested race, give us 2 minutes summary of why you want to be on the council.
Well, I'd like to first of all begin by thanking everyone for the opportunity to be here today. I as well am very excited for the opportunity to get onto council and start making direct differences here in our community. I'd like to add that some of the issues that we discussed today are fairly complex and difficult to fit within the scope of a one-minute conversation. So if you have any further questions or want to take this further, please don't ever hesitate to contact me. I definitely believe in direct representation on the council, so I want to be engaged with any of you that want to have that conversation, so please do let me know. And again, just very excited to be moving forward with this process and be working with you over the couple of years to come, hopefully. So thank you.
Thank you. And Paul Whitney, without attacking your opponent, give us 2 minute closing remarks, please.
My opponent is probably my wife at home telling me I'm get too involved sometimes. I'd just like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to sit here and talk with you all. It's been kind of a quiet election year. There's not been much going on, at least on the city council races. There's some issues in front of the borough, and then of course there's some major issues coming up at the November election. My biggest effort towards you would be encourage you to get out there and vote, encourage you to get involved in the different propositions and different things that are going on in our community and in our state. There's important things happening. We talked about Proposition 1. Even if the city council does something, takes some kind of action on that proposition, it's still up to you to vote on it. Whatever the city council says does not mean you can't still go out there and vote the way you want to, and that's the important thing. And I just urge you all to get involved in the community, get involved in what's going on in our state, and get out there and vote. Thank you.
Okay, I have just been told that if there are any questions that those of you who cared enough to come here would like to ask these candidates who will be your council people in the future. Election is Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, is it not?
Yeah.
It is, yeah, the first Tuesday. Do I see any hands, any questions, anything you want to put to the candidates?
Well, first I would ask them if they were willing to, and I didn't ask you if you would be willing to answer questions from the audience, but would, since we have some extra time,
sure.
Would you be willing?
Sure,
to
sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
More than happy to.
No.
And so,
as long as they're not tough questions.
Yeah.
It's not a question, but a comment, and not against Lisa or Paul, but it's nice to see the younger generation stepping forward in our community.
I'm actually 65.
And I do want to make sure, and I'm positive that this will happen, that you guys do research the two topics we talked about, the sports center and the visitor center, before you come to any conclusion, because there's a lot of information out there that you need to take a look at.
Thank you.
That almost sounded like a threat. I know, Tammy. Okay. Oh, come on. Use a microphone, bagel.
Thank you.
So you guys discussed business climate in the city, and I would like to hear from you guys what you feel the city council's role is in developing and encouraging the business climate within the city of Tulalip.
Go ahead, Justin, why don't you go first?
Great question.
I personally think one of our greatest means by which to support that is the creation of a downtown district at some point in hopefully the near term. We really have we don't have a singular location for businesses to congregate and have accessible facilities. I mean, you're a good example at your business. I mean, you've moved twice now in the last how many years? 2 years, and I think you've found a great location. But I mean, it's not exactly in the heart of Soldotna either. And I think that's true of a lot of businesses. I think you see that. I love the little. Is this a minute only? Okay. Sorry, guys. They gave me a microphone. I'm the Broadway star. The little shops, like Mountain Mama's Originals and the Panini Place and a lot of different things back. And they're off the road and they're hidden. And I'm going to be really honest, and I don't know if anyone here owns any of those places, but I, for the first time in however long they've been there, which feels like a long time to me, went in that little loop last week. And it was awesome. I loved it in there. But those are places that would benefit from a place where we could walk, where we could shop, where we could go into these businesses. A bunch of my favorite places to go are all in a converted Stanley Ford, or whatever the Ford place used to be for a long time ago. Sue's Bath and Body and Lucy's and Fine Time and the bookstore. I mean, I love those places, but they're just making it work in there. And they're doing a great job, but we could be a little more friendly to having places where people could have those businesses have affordable rent, offer our community great services that we all love. But have them be in a place where we could walk and shop and hang out and see each other and say hi and have a good time. I think that would be a great small business opportunity for our city, downtown area.
Okay, Jordan, Pamela opened up the can of worms, okay? And while we want new businesses, we want the new generation. Truthfully, I talk to a lot of people who come to town and they feel that the city actually obstructs the starting of a new business, whether it's parking locations or whether it's other things. It becomes very difficult for a new entrepreneur to get started. What would you do to attract new business or maybe make it easier for new businesses wanting to get started in the city?
Sure. Well, expanding on Justin's idea about a walkable urban center, I think that's a fantastic idea, making the center of Soldotna a place where people can literally just walk from destination to destination, see all that Soldotna has to offer. And I truly believe that Soldotna Creek Park could be the centerpiece of that urban business district. And we could expand that and provide more parking and make that center of the city more accessible for people to get to our small businesses. And furthermore, I think we can flush out and accelerate the development process for new businesses by expanding our partnerships with local organizations that make this possible, like the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce or the Small Business Development Center. We could also do things to ease with the startup costs for finding a place to have your business and operate it. I don't know the feasibility would be of this, but it would be amazing if the city could maybe set up some kind of facility that's kind of like a Silicon Valley incubator where we own retail space and allow a new business to pitch an idea to the city and operate for 12 months on the basis that they promise to continue operating in the city if their business becomes successful and they move out, or we can streamline and reduce the costs on permitting for new businesses. There's a lot of cool opportunities out there if we just make the effort to pursue them and really attract these new businesses to Soldotna. We just have to make that an easier process and work with partners to make that happen.
And Paul, anything that ideas that you might have to make it easier for new businesses to come to Soldotna?
Everybody's pretty much touched on everything that can be touched on. Now, regulations is probably the biggest thing. And I urge anybody wanting to start a business is talk with our city economic development director and the city administration and see, are there ways to streamline some of the regulations that may be affecting you? Because changes can be made. Just because it's written in a book right now doesn't mean that can be changed and adjusted to help any business or any particular group of businesses. So the park, that's a centerpiece. I can remember that when that was a DOT yard and looked pretty junky. Now it's a great park. Everybody uses it. It's almost getting to the point of being overused. I've sat out there on the during progress days and barbecued hot dogs, and that place was packed with people. Being a little thin up here on top, I got totally sunburned. I kind of looked like a fried tomato. But it was a lot of use, and a lot of people use that thing, and that's the centerpiece. If we can build businesses up around there and have people walking around town, it's great for us.
Now, I've done a lot of teasing today and a lot of joking around, but really this is a very serious thing. What these three gentlemen will be doing will affect all of us who live and operate businesses in the city, affect our pocketbooks directly. It is an important election. It's important for us to show our involvement. I thank you all for being here today, and that we do still have the freedom to run for office and express these ideas at forums like this.